I'll be reading from Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. All that they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Welcome visitors, of which we have several. Glad that you're here. And hope everyone is enjoying this holiday season. Today is a full day here at Milton. We're going to do Christmas baskets right after our assembly, and you're welcome to help with that. We'll make fudge and cookies and chocolate-covered pretzels and fix baskets and deliver those today. We'll have pizza, I think, to eat. We'll have something. I think it's pizza. But we'll, as always, find something to eat. Don't to stress about that. We'll have lunch together, and then at 2:30, this afternoon will be our service at NHC over across from the old hospital. And we'll have that service at 2:30. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, and I want to invite you to be back, we will have our Christmas program with our young people. So I hope that you'll come back, and our young people will be a part of that, and that you'll come back and enjoy them and that program. What time are they supposed to be back, our young people that are participating? 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock for the young people that are going to participate in that tonight. Be back with us here at 4 o'clock to practice that and be ready, and then we'll have that program at 6 o'clock tonight. All right, everybody awake? All my little ones awake? Everybody awake? All right. How many wise men were there? How many?
Three,
I got three.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Two or more.
Two or more. That's, since we have the plural, that's exactly right. You know, we don't know. It was more than one. Now, why would we answer three? Which is not a bad answer. But we would answer three because there are how many gifts that are listed?
Three.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there were three very expensive gifts that were brought, but we're not sure how many wise men there were, because some of them could have been cheapskates and didn't bring a gift, you know, or they all went in together. You know, you ever get that gift that's got lots of names on it? Yeah, we don't know. We don't know how many wise men there were, but they brought gifts to the baby Jesus, the Messiah, when they found him. And it's interesting to note, and just a little sideline to where we're really going today. But in the nativity, and this time of year, you know, I was just thinking about the nativity. Do y'all remember when Roselawn Cemetery had the big nativity up at the cemetery? My wife is looking at me like, no. But back when Mr. Ed Phillips owned the cemetery, they had a big, and it had lights all over it, and we would drive down there, and I can remember driving through for this big, and the characters in the nativity were really large, but it was interesting. But you know, there's always three wise men and their camels, and they're all there with the baby Jesus. But the wise men don't come until Jesus is not in the manger when the wise men find him. He's in a house at this point because they're not there like the shepherds. Now the shepherds are there the night he's born. But the wise men are not, because they have traveled a long way. So it's sometime later that they come. That's just an aside, but just so you know. But I still remember that nativity and enjoyed it. And that was back when that was not in the city of Murfreesboro, when Lamb's truck stop was in the middle of nowhere, I thought, you know. And again, it's in the city limits of Murfreesboro. Who'd have thunk it? But there's where we are. But I don't want to talk about the gifts that were brought to Jesus this morning. And I appreciate very much Josh setting the clock. The clock wasn't running this morning, and Josh made sure He got that going. He was taking no chances today that the clock wasn't accurate. But I want to talk about the gifts that were brought to Jesus. But I want to talk about the gift to us through Jesus. And this is going to be kind of a 30,000 foot view of that this morning. But just some things I want us to be reminded of, because sometimes religion, especially, and I use that in a larger term, really gets a bad name sometimes in society, right? At least among a group of folks just think religion is not a good thing, and Christianity maybe specifically, but not uniquely, is not a good thing. And so in a moment, as we kind of in the latter part of this lesson, I want to talk about the gift, this gift of Jesus as our Messiah. But I want to talk about the difference that Jesus has made in the world through his disciples, through his followers. And I think we need to be reminded of that. You know, education in this country would be very different if it weren't for Christian people. Most of our universities, at least our original universities, were founded as Christian universities. Harvard University, which has since changed its logo and everything, was founded as a Christian university. That was its motto. Many of our universities, so Christian people formed and pushed and shared education, not only in our country, but certainly in the Western culture. And we don't often think about that. But many, many, many of our universities and places of higher learning were started by churches. And even many of our educational system, and now we have public education in our K-12, and we know that we have private education as well by religious groups. But in the early days, lots of that was handled by the churches. Where did the schools meet? In the churches, right? Those people taught, and very often, early on, who were many of the educated people? And I'm not talking about in the last 100 years, but prior to that, those who were trained as ministers were folks who were educated more than the general public, and they also served as school teachers, teaching people. So education in the Western culture, especially in our culture, Christianity, the followers of Jesus, have had a tremendous impact on that. What about medical care? What about medical care? Vanderbilt would not be that, but Murfreesboro Hospital, the old Rutherford Hospital, for those of you who are my age or older, the old Rutherford Hospital, what is it today? St. Thomas West. No, St. Thomas East, right? Or is it St. Thomas Rutherford? St. Thomas Rutherford. St. Thomas West is the old original, and St. Thomas Midtown is the old what? Baptist. So where did it get the name St. Thomas? Where did the hospital get the name Baptist? Because they were founded by followers of Christ. Many of our hospitals were founded by followers of Jesus, serving their community in medical care, right? Making huge differences in our community. There are over 300 agencies and groups in Rutherford County to help those who are in need in different kinds of ways. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? In our county, there are over 300. The vast majority of those are faith-based. The vast majority of those are faith-based. People of faith who are helping others who have needs. And I'm not talking about just spiritual needs, because all the churches would be that. But agencies that help folks who have special needs, maybe it's financial, maybe it is emotional, mental, maybe it is some special health needs, but over 300 of those, and the vast majority of those are faith-based. People of God who are serving others. That makes our community and our world different, and I think much better, because people of God serve. Because why? Because why? Because we're just good people? Well, some of us are pretty good folks. Some of us maybe aren't as good. But I think all of us would say, were it not for God, wouldn't our lives, if it weren't for Jesus Christ, wouldn't our lives be vastly different? I'm going to tell you, if I didn't know about Jesus, I would live my life very differently. Don't drop the L-Y. I would live my life very differently than I live it today. If it weren't for Jesus, I would live it very differently. Why not? If there isn't God and there isn't Jesus, if there is not salvation, if there's not a God who made me in His image and who cares for me and has prepared a place for me, and I am only living to serve Him because God is taking care of me, I would live very differently. Because at this point, if I'm only living here, this is all I got, then what need I do? Get all I can get, right? Why would you not? And whatever that is that makes you happy, you need to get all of it you can get. And get it while you can get it. And I don't mean just financially, although that would be part of it, but it would be whatever I feel like I want to do, I better do it while I feel like doing it and I can, right? And usually they say, but that's the way I'd live. I'll just be really honest with you. If it wasn't for God, if I said, once I hit the grave, my best option is it's over. Everything just goes dark and you just don't exist anymore. Then I'd be making what I consider the most out of every day, which I really try to do today. But what is the most out of every day would be very different for me. I wouldn't care near as much about you. I'll just be honest with you. I hope I'd still be a fairly nice guy, but, buddy, I'd be doing what I wanted to do, the way I wanted to do it. But because Jesus exists, many of us live differently, right? Many of us live differently. And it's interesting in what Hunter read for us, when Paul goes to Peter and the apostles and leaders in the Jerusalem church. And of course, Jerusalem is kind of the center. That's where the church begins. That's where Peter is. That's where James, who becomes very influential, the brother of Jesus, is. And you remember, where had Paul been? Paul had been a persecutor of the church, right? And so they sit together and they meet and they talk, and it becomes obvious to everybody that God had called Paul in a special way to minister to the Gentiles. And so the decision is made among this group, and the way Paul will describe it is that they extended to him the right hand of fellowship, that with their blessings, that Paul would go out and minister to the Gentiles as Peter was ministering to the Jews. That Paul would... His ministry would be to the Gentiles predominantly, as Peter's was predominantly to the Jews. And as Hunter read for us, Paul said, there's just one thing they asked of me. One thing. Paul said, they asked one thing of me, that I not forget the poor. And Paul said, that was something that I wanted to do. Caring for the poor was something. But it's interesting when you think about that thing that Paul says, the one thing that those apostles and leaders in Jerusalem wanted me not to do, don't forget the poor. Jesus has made a difference in our world because He has called us to what? Not forget those who are in need. And I think what they're saying here is not only, Paul, will you help care for the poor, but I think it was really more important than that. Paul, be sure to teach and minister to the poor. And when I say that, that's different than just meeting their physical needs, which we try to do, right? For those who are in need, hopefully we're about that. But what could have happened? Paul could have gone into these cities among the Gentiles and gone to the important people. Or at least the upper middle class. Middle class or upper middle class. Why? Because it could probably be more comfortable for Paul, right? Who's probably going to have a nicer house? Who's probably going to feed him with better food? Who is he probably have more in common with? Those folks who maybe had some education, had acquired some material blessings. And so those leaders said, don't forget the poor. They may not be able to do anything for you, but don't forget them. And that message permeates the followers of Christ today. That hopefully we don't forget those who are in need. Nor we look down on those, but we try to help. And I think there's a real reminder in this for us that our job should not only be to help those in need financially, but to make sure that we're helping them spiritually, right? Because I'm going to be honest with you, what good does it do if we feed somebody and don't tell them about Jesus? I mean, we've not done them any good, have we? Oh, we fed them for a day, and I understand that's important, but the most important gift we have is the gift of Jesus and the great gift that he brought to us that we're going to talk about in just a second. The teachings of Jesus and the followers of Jesus have made a tremendous difference in our culture, especially the relationship between men and women. A tremendous difference. Because, as Hunter read for us again, what's the commandment about husbands with their wives? To love their wives, to love our wives, as Christ loved the church, right? That's a different philosophy. That's a different way of thinking. It's not that wives are possessions, that wives are servants, that wives are second class. Paul says that men ought to love their wives like they love themselves. And just like you take care of your own body, you take care of your wife as well. Paul will talk about breaking down the divisions that were between us. Divisions between Jews and Greeks, divisions between bond and free, and divisions between male and female. That those divisions are broken down, and that women are treated with dignity and respect and cared for and valued. And so that's another gift brought to the world through Jesus about the way we care for those who are poor, the way that we care for women in our society, for the way we care for our wives, and the way we care for our daughters, and the way we respect, hopefully respect, others who are around us, that we treat them with respect and with dignity as being made in the image of God and being special. And so, it's a great gift that Jesus has brought to the world. And again, that's the 30,000-foot view. But remember what James, this brother of Jesus who becomes a real leader in the church of Jerusalem, he tells us what pure religion is, remember? Pure religion before God and man is to care for widows and orphans and their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Through his disciples, which are all of us, through his disciples, Jesus has brought real gifts into the world. And the greatest gift that Jesus brought into the world is the gift of himself as the sacrificial Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That Jesus is God in the flesh. He's God's Son. He came and taught us how God lives among people. How God lives among people. And I've shared this with you before, but at the holiday, I'm going to share it with you again. Because I like the old Christmas songs, but there's one, and I can't remember now who sang it. They used to sing it on the Opry and on the radio, but it's about the man who didn't go to church with his wife on Christmas. Okay, Christmas Eve, and the little community church was having a service, and he wasn't going, and his wife has gone to church. But there's a storm coming, and there's all these birds that are in the barnyard, and he tries to shoo, I guess is the word. I don't know what else you do. You heard some things, but he tries to shoo the little birds into the barn where they'll be safe, and the birds are just flying everywhere. Right, he's not being successful. And then he thinks, if I could just be a bird, I could lead the other birds into the barn. And then in the song, the little church bell begins to ring. He hears the little church bell ring on Christmas Eve. But that's really what Jesus did, didn't he? He came into the world as a man to teach us how to live, and that God cares for each one of us. And that at a tremendous cost to himself, the ultimate price, Jesus died on a cross and God raised him from the dead. What a great gift that Jesus brought. Salvation to all of us. And that life has meaning. Don't all of us want our lives to have meaning? I told you, I would live differently if it weren't for Jesus. I would. But I think it would be such a sad existence if life were just about me. I just think that would be unfulfilling and sad. But to know that we can live for God, who cares for us, that we can be involved in something much larger than ourselves, and that we have the hope of eternal life, gives life purpose. And makes this season joyous, right? Because I'm going to tell you, I love this time of year. In fact, I kind of dread seeing Christmas Day come, because to me it's kind of over at that point, But I like this point before, when we're together and having good times and sharing. But the gifts that I'm going to receive or not at Christmas. And, we saw the commercial last night for the underwear from Duluth Trading Company. I feel rather certain I'm going to get some underwear that don't feel like a mouse trap, or whatever that, or that I'm getting squeezed through a sausage grinder. If you've seen the commercials. And I'm appreciative of that. And they're the gift that keep on giving. You get to wear them all year long, But that won't be what's important about Christmas. It'll be about being together, and it will be much more about the things that we can give, not the things that we receive. I hope that's true for you. It's about hoping that you put a smile on someone else's face. That's what makes it important. And that's what God did for us. He gave us such a great gift through His Son. The other song I like, and again, I've shared this with you many times, but still my favorite is The Little Drummer Boy. I love the Little Drummer Boy. Well, The Little Drummer Boy says, I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. So all we can give is our best. Give our lives to God. Because we have no gifts. There's nothing we'll put in the plate. There's no service we can give other than dedicating our lives to God that's fit for the king. The King who came and gave His life for us. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.